You're listening
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, you're listening to The Mountain and the Word, live from the Mount St. Helens Creation Center. Well, you're very welcome to the show, The Mountain and the Word. My name is Paul Taylor. I'm your host, and I'm the director of the Mount St. Helens Creation Center here at Silver Lake in Washington State. From my front yard, you can see Mount St. Helens. It's about 25 miles away as the crow flies from here, about 40 miles along the very windy road that leads up to the top, but you can see it it's growing dusk at the moment, it's cloudy, so you can't actually see it today, but on a clear day, you can see the mountain from our site. And the purpose of this creation center is to tell people about the truth of the Bible from the very first verse, and particularly to draw attention to the remarkable events of 1980 and 1982, and how that helps us to understand the process of the Genesis flood. Well, as I said, my name is Paul Taylor, and this is the first episode proper of this show, though we have been piloting it for a little while. So if you were to go to the website and have a look, you will be able to find podcasts of former shows. But this is the first official show that we've advertised widely. We've sent out emails about this show, and you're very welcome to the show. It's a special show today as well. We're going to have with us Jay Seagate shortly, and he's going to be talking to us on this first official show. Jay Seagate is a fellow creation speaker, a good friend of mine, very much the same sort of attitude towards creation speaking as myself. So it's going to be fun to talk to him. Those of you who have been following the pilots will know that we did chat a few weeks ago. But for those of you who are new, we'll introduce Jay shortly, and you can get to know him and some of the things that that he is doing around the country. And well, this show is for you. We would like you to call in, and you can chat to us live on the air. If you call in when the podcast is playing, you won't get any answer at all. But you can podcast, and you can leave things for us. So if you have a look at our website, which is mshcreationcenter.org, mshcreationcenter.org. MSH stands for Mount St. Helens. I know I've got a bit of a lisp, so people can't always tell what the letter S is when I'm saying it, but it's mshcreationcenter.org. So have a look at that site, and that will lead you to the site where you can listen to the show. You can listen to us live, and you'll see the phone number there to call in. Well, the phone number is 657-383-1089. That's 657-383-1089. You'd be very welcome to join in the show, to ask questions, to make comments. Remember, if anyone is going to be offensive, I will just simply cut you off, and we won't have you on the show again. But generally speaking, we want some interesting conversation, and you'd be very welcome to join in. If you have a look at the website as well to get on to the show, you could also join in on the chat room. So I've just launched the chat room right now. So if you don't want to call in live, but you want to leave some comments in the chat room, I have just opened that now. Probably should have opened that before we started, but there it is. It's now open on the website so that you can join in. You can ask questions of myself and Jay online. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be good. And we hope that you enjoy the show. We hope that you enjoy listening to what we have to say. And of course, if you've got any ideas for things that we're going to have on the show, or people that we're going to interview, then you'd be very welcome to send us information about that. Send us some information through our website. You fill in the form on the website and send us some information about that. Or go and have a look at our Facebook page. You can find our Facebook page, facebook.com/ MSH Creation Center. That's facebook.com/ MSH Creation Center. There's our Facebook page, and you can join in with comments all the time. I'll have a look at that Facebook page during the show, so that if you've got any questions, any comments, or anything that you want to do to join in with what we're doing on the show, then you could place them there as well. So you're listening to The Mountain and the Word. And already, actually, on the very first show, we've got some exciting news already. I'm currently in negotiation with a 24-hour online radio station, broadcasting programs online. And we'll, God willing, we'll be broadcasting the show, a repeat of the show, through that station as well to get a wider coverage. So that will be exciting too. As soon as I finalize details, I will advertise the website of that internet radio station on our website so that you'll be able to get onto it. Remember, this is an internet-based radio show. It's a live show, but you'll be able to you'll be able to get onto it easily. Many people have actually got systems in cars now, so that they can actually listen to stations in 4G stations, and so that's a possibility as well. There's all sorts of ways of getting it. Don't forget, you can go on and you can podcast the show after the event. You can download it, or you can put the address, the URL, into podcasting software. Then you can get hold of the show after the event. Obviously, you can't take part in live discussion, but you could easily listen to what we have to say, leave some comments on our Facebook page for future shows. Well, this is The Mountain and the Word, and after this short break, we're going to be coming back, and I'm going to be talking to my good friend, Jay Seagate. So that's just after this break.
Can Christians believe the Bible from the very first word? This new study, The 6 Days of Genesis, by creation speaker Paul Taylor, will help Christians understand exactly what happened during the creation week and why it is foundationally important to believe it.
The New Testament makes it very clear that what God says about creation is true.
You'll enjoy every minute of Paul's unique presentation style, combining scientific facts, solid biblical teaching, and a little British humor.
Some things are not susceptible to scientific analysis. I cannot prove to you, for example, that I was born in Manchester in the north of England 27 years ago. You are doubting Thomas's, aren't you, all of you? All right, it was a bit longer ago than that. Okay, if you want to get hold of the 6 Days of Genesis DVD pack, then you can get that from our website, mshcreationcenter.org. Well, hopefully online. I can see that on my studio panel here that Jay has called in. So hopefully online we've got my good friend and fellow creation speaker, Jay Seagate. Jay, welcome to the show.
It's an honor to be on the program with you.
Well, it's an honor to have you on the show. Thank you very much for agreeing to do this. And you've been very helpful to us because a few weeks ago you helped us practice this whole idea of doing interviews online. We did a pilot show together, and you helped us practice. So thank you very much indeed for doing that. I hope that was fun.
No problem. It was a lot of fun. Looking forward to tonight's show.
Well, there should be many listeners tonight who have not heard the show before. I guess there should be some listeners who haven't heard the show before. And you're very welcome if you have joined in. And if you want to ask some questions to Jay or myself, then the number to call in is 657-383-1089. That's 657-383-1089. And you'd be very welcome to do that. Or you can go onto the chat room, which you can find by clicking through the link on the page on our website for the show. Or you can leave some questions on our Facebook page too. And I've got all those things up in front of us. Well, Jay, You've been talking about creation and evolution and Genesis and so on for millions of years, haven't you?
It seems like it, yeah.
How long is it?
Sure, it's been 29 years, and
wow.
I've been doing this full time for the past 8 years, but started my last year of college, which was about 29 years ago. So it's been a while.
Wow, that's great. And if people want to find out information about you, we'll talk about your website a bit later on. But just right now, maybe you could tell people what your website is right now, so they can find information about you.
Sure, it's the Creation Education Center. So the website is CECWISC.com. I'm in Wisconsin, so it's Creation Education Center, Wisconsin. So that's CECWISC.com.
That's great. And I'll remind you of that website during the program. So that's great information there. And it's well worth having a look at Jay's site and seeing the articles, the information that he has there, and events showing where he's traveling around the country. But you said you've been talking on this subject for quite a long while. And what actually got you into talking about the subject of creation in the first place, Jay?
Sure. Well, my background, in a nutshell, I was raised in a Christian home and believed the Bible from cover to cover. I went to public schools all the way through high school. Then I graduated and went to a Christian college to study mechanical engineering. And partway through, I became more interested in physics, but the Christian college didn't have a physics major, so I had to leave there. And so I ended up going to a state university to get a degree in physics, and that's when my world changed drastically, going from that small Christian college where my engineering professors actually opened up every class in prayer to a large state university where my physics professors did not open up in prayer. And they were all evolutionists. Some of them were even atheists, and they were telling me basically that everything I believed was wrong. And that made me very uncomfortable to be surrounded by these PhD scientists who are very intelligent, and I assumed that they had a lot of evidence for what they believed, but I realized probably for the first time in my life that I knew what I believed, but I didn't know why. And so God put it on my heart at that point to start looking into the Christian faith more deeply and finding evidences, and so I started doing all my researching and speaking at that point, which is now 29 years ago.
During that time, there must be some particular events may have stood out. So, what sort of questions have you been asked that sort of stuck in your mind? Is there any particular difficult or particular strange question that's ever come up that's really stuck out in your head?
Well, I just think a lot of people are confused by, they think, well, how could all the scientists be wrong? In fact, I was speaking at a Christian university, and one of the Old Testament professors told me that what I was doing was actually damaging to the students to actually tell them that they could trust Genesis for what it said. It actually meant that God created everything in 6 days, and that was damaging to them. And afterwards, I was talking to him personally, and that was his question: how could all the scientists be wrong? And I looked at him and I said, do you think that most scientists believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God? And he said, no. And I said, well, how could all the scientists be wrong? And so he had no problem with thinking that they're all wrong about that, but yet he thought they must be right about evolution. And so I think people are kind of confused. They want to believe the Bible, but they're wondering, how can we go against what we hear from the scientific community? But it all has to do with the fact that science is all about interpretation, and it really has to do with one's worldview. It's not that all these scientists have all this proof or anything. It's that they've chosen that as part of their worldview, and they just assume it's true, even though most scientists themselves aren't actually studying evolution. They just figure, well, other scientists have, and it's good enough for them. So they have faith in somebody else, even though they themselves haven't studied it that much.
Wow, so that's an interesting point, that. And you said this was without naming any names, but it was a professor at a Christian school. Is that right?
Yes, it was. And that's, you know, at the time it was a little surprising, but I've just learned a lot since then. And a lot of Christian colleges have, in my mind, kind of compromised their view of Scripture. And it's not that surprising now to hear those types of views coming from professors at Christian colleges.
That's right. I've got a book on my bookshelf. I can see it right here now, and it's a book by a man called Dennis Alexander. The book's called Creation or Evolution, Do We Have to Choose? Dennis Alexander is, he's put his neck on the block on this, so I can mention his name. He's a lecturer at Cambridge University in England, and he sort of obliquely refers to me and people like me and like you, really, in the appendix, because he says he finds it hard to understand how people, and he was thinking about me when he put this comment in, how people can, like us, can travel around the place telling people that they don't need to believe in evolution, that they shouldn't believe in evolution, when that's a proven fact. And he says people like that are damaging to the gospel, damaging to the credibility of the gospel. So what you and I are doing then, according to Dr. Alexander, is damaging to the credibility of the gospel. Is that how you feel about it?
No, really just the opposite. You know, you and I both clearly know that the whole reason the gospel message is important is because we are sinners. We've separated ourselves from God. But that all goes back to Genesis, as you know as well as I do, that there was a literal Adam. He literally sinned and literally separated himself from God. And so the whole foundation for the gospel is the historicity of Genesis from Genesis 1:1 on. So instead of doing damage to the gospel, we're actually securing its foundation.
That's right. I mean, that's a great answer. And we've come across people like Dr. Alexander many times, and like the gentleman that you mentioned, and it's very sad to find that these things are being said in Christian schools, and of course by pastors as well. I guess you will have come across pastors who struggle with the truth of the Book of Genesis as well. Would that be right?
Oh, many times. There's one in particular out in Ohio. And he basically, when someone was approaching him, and I was there speaking just to the youth group, and someone wanted me to speak to the whole church, his response about not wanting it in the church, he said, well, wait a minute, you got to be careful trying to tie the Old Testament into the New Testament. And I thought, wow, here's a pastor of a large church, and it was a pretty solid church, but he didn't see the connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament, which I think is very, very sad.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. Well, recently there's been a new book come out that I've got here on my bookshelf, and the book's called Creation and Evolution, Compatible or in Conflict. So it's a similar title to the one I mentioned, Creation and Evolution, Compatible or in Conflict. Do you know anything at all about that book?
That title seems awfully familiar. I have a copy of that sitting on my desk, and it's got my name on the bottom. I guess I wrote it.
Excellent. I mean, this book has come out by Master Books, but of course, it's been out under a different title for a number of years, hasn't it?
Let There Be Light, yes.
Now, what brought you to write this book then, Jay?
Well, I was actually encouraged initially by my own pastor to write a book. It's not that there weren't other good books out there. It's just that, you know, when you and I are out speaking, we need to have some of our own materials. And we really have our own unique experiences as we travel around and meet with people. And I think you and I are somewhat of in a unique position where we're not just out there talking about facts, saying that evolution is wrong and here's why. We really know the bigger picture about the authority of Scripture, and so I think one of the reasons I wanted to write the book was to help people understand this controversy, not just from a factual standpoint and trying to win arguments, but understanding it from the larger picture of the authority of Scripture and trusting the Bible from cover to cover. If we say that we can't believe in creation because the scientists have proven evolution, then I guess we shouldn't believe in the resurrection because scientists have also proven people don't come back from the dead. So this book really does help people try to defend their faith and get the bigger picture in mind and not just debating things scientifically.
Well, it's a great book in my opinion, and it's our main book. We recommend that at this center, the Mountain House Creation Center. We recommend that as the best book on as a foundation of information on this particular subject. So It's thoroughly recommended. You can get it in our bookstore. You can get it on our website. You can get it on Jay's website as well, which is CECWISC.com. And we'll be back talking with Jay Siegert in just a minute after this break.
Creation and evolution, compatible or in conflict. That's our number one recommended resource on the creation issue. Written by top creation speaker Jay Siegert, the book contains all the basics that you need to get to grips with the topic, including chapters on Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1, the universe, the impossibility of evolution, the age of the earth, and much, much more. And it contains a very helpful appendix explaining the basics of presuppositional apologetics. At the bargain price of $14, the book Creation and Evolution by Jay Siegert is available from the Mount St. Helens Creation Center. That's mshcreationcenter.org.
Hi, you're back listening live to The Mountain and the Word, live from the Mount St. Helens Creation Center at Silver Lake in Washington State, in view of Mount St. Helens. And we're talking live with Jay Siegert. And so we're very grateful to you, Jay, for being here on the program. And we were just talking about your book, and just had a short ad on the subject of your book. And you cover a great many topics in the book. And one of the things I like about it is you seem to have a gift for presenting what are quite difficult concepts in a simple manner. Was it a conscious decision on your part to make this book an easy-to-understand book?
Definitely. There are great scientists out there that are doing incredible research and writing a lot of technical literature, but the typical layperson in the church doesn't have either access to those materials or the ability to understand that. So God has kind of made me the middleman to read that and listen to their lectures and take that information and then represented in a way that people can understand using very simple analogies and trying to bring it down to a level that's not only understandable but very practical to strengthen their own faith and to help them bolster their faith when they're sharing the gospel.
Wow, that's great. And one of the things that I've heard you talk about, when I was back in Pensacola and working with Eric Hoven, we did the Creation Today show. And you came on the Creation Today show, and by the way, you can still get hold of those programs. You can podcast them, or you can get them from the Creation Today website. You can view them. We interviewed you a couple of times on that show, and one show that stuck out in my head in particular was a show we did on the subject of information science. Can you remember that particular show?
Yeah, that was a great one. That's one of my favorites to talk about because people can relate to it, you know, fairly simply. It takes somewhat of a complex concept, but gets people to think about it in a way that is a very, very strong defense for creation. So I'm assuming you want to launch into that here.
Absolutely, yes, because the main place that you were talking about where information can be found is in the DNA molecule. Is that right? Well, you would argue that what you find in DNA is basically obeys the principles of information science. Would that be right?
Yeah, definitely. And just the real quick background, you know, and some of the listeners will be familiar with this, but when we use information all the time, but we don't really think about what information actually is. And when you think about a book contains a lot of information, and it's stored in there using the paper and ink, and then a magazine, same thing. And then you look at a CD. A CD can hold about 100,000 pages of text, and it's using plastic and metal. And so the plastic and metal do a great job of storing that information. And same thing with a hard drive. Plastic and metal holds even more information. But in each of those cases, the physical materials, they do a great job of storing the information. But in none of those cases can those physical materials actually create the information. It's just being used to store it. In each case, you can trace the information back to an intelligent source, whether it's the author of the book or the computer programmer. It always has an intelligent source in its beginnings. So then you look fast forward, you look at DNA, and DNA is made out of physical materials, and it does an even better job of storing information And we know the physical materials can't create information, so where did that information come from? Well, logically, it makes sense that that must have had an intelligent source as well. And in that program, I specifically talked about how some of the information is structured on the DNA and just kind of blows us away how complex that is. So I don't know if you want me to go into any of those examples.
Well, well, it's great because I think everybody's familiar with the idea that DNA contains information just on a basic level. I think perhaps people are not quite so familiar with how sophisticated the information is. Now, before we get into some of the sophistication of it, I think people have said things like, well, it's like a sort of book of information. I suppose it's similar to having a blank CD. You could put information on that. And what you were just saying there is that if you had a computer program on a blank CD or something like that, then you the information is not part of the material of the CD. It's separate, isn't it? And it's a bit like if you were writing a book, except the book would have a lot of pages. And I've heard things like saying, well, give us some idea of the sort of quantity of information, approximately how many pages you think you'd have if you were just sort of a rougher estimate of what you'd have if you were able to transcribe that information into written form.
Sure. Well, just a single strand of DNA within a single cell, and we've got up to 100 trillion cells in our body. If you just go into one cell and grab the DNA out of that single cell there, if you were to write that out, that's about 3 billion letters just inside that one cell on that, the set of DNA there. But its storage capacity, as far as the amount that you can store in a certain volume, just blows us away. If you had just a pinhead amount of DNA, the amount of information that could be stored in that small volume would fill enough books to stack from the Earth to the Moon 500 times, and that's 240,000 miles from the Earth to the Moon. And so it has an amazing storage capacity. It blows away anything that we have, but it's not only the amount of information that can be stored there, it's the complexity. It's not just like a book where you read, page one through the end and you're done. It's got multiple layers of information that we can talk about as well.
That's great. Now, I've got a caller online. I'm just going to bring the caller on, see if he's got a question that he wants to ask. Hello, caller. Who am I speaking to? Hello, who am I speaking to? Who's the caller who's calling into the Mountain and the Word? You're live on the Mountain and the Word. Nope, that caller's gone. And if we just return to what we were talking about, Jay, just before that, we were talking about information. I think people have got some idea of the quantity of information. And I always had this idea that I used to tell people in my talks about the quantity of information. But then you, when I heard you talking about it, it became a lot more complicated than I thought. Because you said that DNA contains information a little bit like a palindrome. Did you want to talk about that? Perhaps say what a palindrome is and give us some examples of how that information works?
Sure. Typically, in English particularly, when you open up a book, you start reading on page one on the left side, and you read from left to right. Well, we've discovered that much of our DNA can not only be read left to right, but also right to left. Backwards. There are messages going both ways, and a palindrome is an interesting phrase that can be read forwards and backwards, like the phrase, "Was it a rat I saw?" If you write that out, it spells, "Was it a rat I saw?" both ways. But that's actually too simplistic, because that's the exact same message both ways. Our DNA has separate messages. In fact, it doesn't even have a short sentence like that. It has up to entire chapters of information that can be read forwards and backwards. And the analogy that I usually use would be, is if you had a job at a cell phone factory and it's your job to write the instruction manual to give to the manufacturing plant to make these phones, and your boss comes to you one day and says, "I have a project for you. I need you to write the chapter in this manual that explains how the phone is going to download apps from the web." And you say, "Okay." And he's walking away, and he turns around and goes, "Oh, sorry, I forgot one minor detail. When you write that chapter, you have to write it in such a way that if we read it backwards, it will explain how the phone's going to play music files." And you look at your boss and say, "Well, you're kidding, right?" And he would say, no, I'm sorry, we only have so much room in the manual, and you have to write these chapters that can be read forwards and backwards. That's what we're seeing in the DNA. You read sections forward, and it's a set of very, very complex instructions that make a certain set of proteins that have a certain function in your body. You read it backwards, it makes completely different proteins that have a completely different function in your body. So there's two questions here. Number one, how did that complex information system get created to begin with by random processes of nature? And then secondly, how do mutations, which are accidental copying errors, how do mutations make it better and better over time? It's just not going to happen. And that's just one level that we've looked at so far.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth me just underlining what you've just said there. The idea that you could have a chapter that you would read in one direction, and it means one thing. It's one a whole chapter, it's one whole set of instructions. You read the same thing backwards, all the letters, all the words backwards, and it gives you information for a completely different function. And that's what DNA is like. But it doesn't finish there, does it? It gets more complex than that. Tell us another level of complexity that you talk about.
Sure. Another level is overlapping messages, where in the talk I give a phrase that says, I like choco later that evening, which doesn't seem to make any sense because it's two phrases that overlap. I like chocolate and later that evening. Those two phrases overlap in the letters L-A-T-E, so they overlap each other. Well, that's what we're seeing in our DNA, but it doesn't have just a few letters that overlap. It will overlap up to almost entire chapters of information. So the problem is, again, how do you write chapters that overlap each other that make sense all along the way, forwards and backwards and then overlapping? And then as this is being copied over all the years of supposed evolution and you're making mistakes in the copying, when you make a mistake in the overlapping section, you're messing up both messages and you're messing up the backwards message. So it's more dangerous to make random changes. Even if you could somehow make a slight improvement in one small section, you're messing up the backwards message or the overlapping message or the message in all the other levels we see.
Wow. And I remember you had a lot of diagrams, and I've seen you give this talk as well. And obviously, it's quite a visual thing to be able to get to see these levels of information. It's quite a visual concept. But I think people can get the message that this is really, really complex. Are there any other levels of information that can be described? Perhaps before I let people know where they can actually see this information. Any other levels other than things being read crosswise and things being read forwards and backwards? Anything else about DNA information?
Sure, I'll just mention them without going into the details. We have spliced messages where you take your normal message and then you go and you just take kind of, in a sense, almost like random chunks out of there, put those chunks together, you have another message. Then we have embedded messages where you take your normal message and you go like every ninth letter, in a sense, put those together, you got a message. Then we have encrypted messages where you take the normal message, that's one message, but now you take each letter in the message and you substitute a different letter. So everywhere you see an A, in a sense, you put an R, and everywhere you see a B, you put an M, and you do all those substitutions, and now you have another message. And then we have 3D messages, and then we have communication going on between the cell membrane and the DNA, and so there's all these other levels that are just, you know, more and more complexity the more we look at it. It's just absolutely amazing that, you know, God spoke all that into existence.
Well, it's a fascinating subject, and you really need to see the diagrams that Jay has produced in order to see this, the levels of complication in DNA information. And this is where, I mean, even if DNA had just been information, like a chapter of information that you read forwards, it would be very difficult to imagine that had come into place simply by chance, wouldn't it? It's very difficult to imagine that at all. But the way you're putting it, it's even more complex than that. I mean, we cannot conceive of designing information in the way that you're talking about, and yet DNA works that way. But so, I mean, how does that make you feel when you hear people saying, well, clearly, you know, this comes about by random chance. Richard Dawkins did an experiment on TV with children, getting them to draw letters out of a Scrabble bag, and eventually they got C-A-T, and he said, there you are, that's information, the word cat.
Yeah, well, it's obviously an oversimplistic view, because in one example that, and I don't even hear many other creationists talk about this as much, but in that example where they got cat, C-A-T, that information already existed. We already had the concept of a cat. The actual cat existed. The actual word cat existed, that we know what that word is and what it represents. You just got some letters out of a bag to fall into that order. You're not really creating the information. The information already existed. That's why you recognized it. So even if you put a random grouping together, we may never have seen that grouping before, but it's not a word because it doesn't actually exist in the real world. And his example, again, was overly simplistic. And so I think most people that say it all happened by accident, many of them aren't aware of a lot of this complexity. But even those who kind of do know better, they're choosing out of their own will and their own worldview to not want creation to be true. And so they're trying to explain it away or not want it to be true. So it's not that they're not intelligent. It's just that they really don't want these things to be true.
They've got a very different worldview in the way that they interpret things, haven't they? Now, I mentioned about this. You're talking about this on an episode of the Creation Today show. And so listeners can go back on the website creationtoday.org and find that particular show where Eric Hovind and myself interviewed Jay on this subject before. But I think you've got a talk. Is this one of those talks that's on one of your DVDs, Jay? Is that right?
Yes, we have the title of it is called Evolution, Probable or Problematic. And so that goes through all this, the details of the DNA with a lot of great visuals and very, very easy to understand.
I've just picked that DVD straight off my bookshelf, Evolution, Probable or Problematic. And it's a great talk featuring Jay, and you'll see all the diagrams that explain some of the things that we were talking about there. It's a great 44-minute talk. And how could they get hold of that that DVD, Jay, and any other DVDs that you have?
Sure. Everything is available on our website, and our website, again, is CECWISC.com.
That's great. CECWISC.com. Well, you're listening to The Mountain and the Word, and I'm talking with my friend and fellow creation speaker, Jay Seagate. And we're going to have a short break for a couple of minutes, and we'll be back after a couple of minutes, but we're going to have a little bit of a musical interlude now. And I wanted to feature a song which was composed and performed by my good friend Matt Hill. Matt Hill is an elder at the Life Church Leicester, a church I used to be a member of back in England, a great worship leader and songwriter. And this song is called God of the Impossible.
Name there is
song called God of the Impossible. That's Matt Hill with God of the Impossible. And that's from the album Heart Bowed Down, which you can get from Amazon. And there's also a link to that, or there will be a link to that from our website later today. I know I've got a link from it from my personal website, but there's going to be a link to that from our ministry website, mshcreationcenter.org, later today. It's great to come across some biblical worship music, and I'd thoroughly recommend getting hold of that album. Matt Hill, the album is called Heart Bowed Down. That track was called God of the Impossible. Well, you're listening to The Mountain and the Word. The time is 4:42 p.m. Pacific time. That's and it's 6:42 where at the moment in Central Time, which is where my special guest Jay Seeger is in somewhere in the region, somewhere near Milwaukee in Wisconsin, land of cheeses, and that's where Jay's situated. So, obviously, the only important thing there is about Wisconsin is the land of cheeses, and
that's right.
And there's some little team as well, somewhere around about there as well. It's great to talk to you, Jay. And looking at your website, there's some very exciting things happening. One of the first things that sort of flashes straight onto the screen when we go to your website is a Grand Canyon Rim and Wrap Tour coming up. I was really amazed when I first saw that a few weeks ago. What's going on? Tell us something about that, then.
Sure. Well, Russ Miller, who has his own creation ministry in Arizona, he does these tours regularly, and he asked if I would join him on one of them. So this summer, July 10th through the 13th, we're doing a rim and raft tour. One day we're going along the rim for the whole day as part of the tour, and then we're doing a 17-mile raft trip. It's very casual. It's not a lot of steep climbing or anything. It's not whitewater rapids or anything. It's very easy, so anywhere from probably 5-6 years old on up to 100 could probably make the trip. So we're going to do that, and basically you go through and you talk about great evidences for the Genesis flood of Genesis 6 through 8 there. You see the physical evidence there. It's going to be a very, very powerful tour. It's not just a fun vacation, but it really is something that will strengthen your faith in the authority of Scripture and then just bring you firsthand there to the results of the flood.
So you're obviously going to see a lot of things during that tour, and people are going to be able to get some great information from yourself and from Russ Miller, aren't they, while they're on that tour?
Yeah, if they go to our website, they can click on that picture of the Grand Canyon. It'll take them to a page that has all the details. We still have openings if anyone's interested in going July 10th through the 13th.
Excellent. So that's well worth going to. I'd urge you to have a look at that. Russ is a great guy, doing an important work there. And we have one of his books in our bookshop here as well. It's About Time. That's the name of the book. It's not that it's about time. We had his book. His book is called It's About Time. And that's an excellent book to get hold of, too. So it's great that you and Russ are partnering together for that event, Jay, and I'm sure people it'd be well worth them going along to that event, finding out about it and having great fun while learning a lot of scriptural and scientific truth at the same time. Well, what else is coming up that you're going to be involved in? Are there any particular things you want to highlight at the moment, Jay?
Well, there's just more. Our typical events are speaking in churches, and so they're just kind of across the country. In a few days, I'll be going to Miami to speak, and then I'm doing a conference out in Montana, and then I'm doing another conference in New York. So it's just kind of all over the place. Got engagement coming up in St. Martin in the Caribbean. That'll be in June, and then this Grand Canyon trip in July. And so there's just always something exciting going on, and people, again, from our website, they could click on the events calendar and they could see all the places that will be. Or if they want to schedule one of their own, they can contact us and we can work on scheduling something. We don't charge anything for our engagements. We just accept free will offerings or honorariums. We just ask that any actual travel expenses be covered beyond that. But they can contact us if they're interested in scheduling an engagement at their church or school or conference or university.
Absolutely. Well, I would urge people to go to Jay's website. It's cecwisc.org. Now, I think I was telling people .com. Can you use both? Have I misinformed people?
You can use both, just one at a time. Either one works. Yep, just one at a time.
Right. Okay, so the .com will get you to the right place. So if you're listening and you, I was just wondering whether I'd made a mistake and need to go back and correct it. But no, you can go to the main website, is cecwisc.org. That's for the Creation Education Center. Have a look at events. Have a look at scheduling Jay to come and speak at your church or your event. Have a look at the calendar events, and if you see one near you, then make the effort to go. Even if it's going to take you a couple of hours to drive there, it could be well worth it to make the effort to go and hear Jay. Is there anything else I need to point out to people from your website, Jay?
There's just a number of articles each month. I write a newsletter, and they can sign up for a free email newsletter once a month, and in that I always have a question of the month that I pose and an answer, and then they become articles on the website. So we have a number of articles that I've written. There are some other radio interviews that are archived. There are some video clips from our DVDs so they can get an idea what the DVDs look like, and then just some other miscellaneous information on the website. But it's a good source to go to get information, and then all of our contact information is there if anyone ever has any specific questions. I'm really good at getting back to people quickly with answers to their questions.
Excellent. And I can see a list of Question of the Month archives here as well. So if these are the sort of questions that have troubled you, like were Adam and Eve real people? What did the Pope just say about evolution? Is there life in outer space? Theory of everything, really? And what's the best evidence for evolution? Then you can get the answers to those questions and many, many more by going to cecwisc.org. Well, Jay, it's been a great pleasure talking to you today. Thank you so much for honoring us by being on the first public live show of The Mountain and the Word. And I hope it won't be the last one that you appear on. I hope that we'll hear from you again. So thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, it's been my pleasure, and I definitely look forward to working with you in the future, and I look forward to future shows.
Absolutely. Well, God bless you, and thank you, and goodbye for the evening. So that was Jay Seagate. And remember, as I said, his website is cecwisc.org, and you need to go and have a look at that and find out information about Jay's ministry and all the things that that he's doing, because it's very important. He has a very similar style to myself. He's gifted at trying to making things easy for people to understand. So I really urge you to get in touch with him, particularly if you're in the Midwest. But please remember, Jay travels all over the country, and if you're in a completely different part of the country, don't be afraid to book him. He's traveled all over the place. He's well used to traveling to different places, and as you heard, even to the Caribbean. So he'd be a great guy to get in touch with, to have him at an event at your conference, your church. Just go to the website, cecwisc.org. And of course, I need to mention that I do the same. I'm traveling around too, and I'd be very happy to come speak at your church and your event. And there are a few events that I think I'd like to just take a couple of minutes to mention to you, because there's some great things happening at the moment. One of the main ones of those is that a new apologetics association has started recently in Southwest Washington, which is called the Southwest Washington Apologetics Association. And you can find out about their events by going to the website swa.org. That's SWWAA.org for the Southwest Washington Apologetics Association. We noticed that there are many apologetics associations, creation associations around the Seattle area, and there are many around the Portland, Oregon area, and not so much happening in between. So we thought it would be great to have something happening in the Longview area. And so that's how that organization has been put together. But I have no doubt that some people will want to travel and to get there. Well, we're starting up a monthly meeting, and we've got some speakers lined up for later in the year, God willing. But our first ever meeting, the inaugural meeting, will be on Tuesday, February the 17th of this year, starting at 7 p.m. And I'm addressing that meeting. I wanted to get this organization going with a good basis. So I'm taking the first three meetings, looking at the 6 days of Genesis. That's over three sessions. So we'll be going through all 6 days of Genesis in three sessions. So the first of those starts on Tuesday, February the 17th at 7 o'clock. If you're in the Longview and Kelso area, then you need to go to Calvary Chapel. Now, Calvary Chapel Longview is actually in Kelso. There's two cities next door to each other there, either side of the Cowlitz River. So you need to go to Kelso, to Calvary Chapel Longview. It's right off the interstate junction, I think. Now, I should have brought the map up before, but I think it's just off Junction 39. But it's the main junction going into Kelso. We've got a map anyway on the website so that you can find your way there easily. You'll find that information then on the Southwest Washington Apologetics Association website, fwwaa.org. It's also mentioned on our website, that's mshcreationcenter.org. So as I said, that's at Calvary Chapel Longview, which is actually in Kelso, Tuesday, February the 17th, 2015, from 7 o'clock till 9 o'clock. Admission free. There'll be a free will offering taken up on the evening. Now, I'm speaking all over the place over the next couple of months, particularly in the Pacific Northwest, but not just there. Like Jay, I'm happy to travel around. I know that it's not fully decided yet, but I know I'll be speaking in Pensacola, Florida, shortly. Towards the beginning of April. Keep your eyes open for that. Probably on, it will probably be on Sunday, April the 12th. Keep your eyes open for that. So there'll be something appearing on the website. And by the way, if you are in the Panhandle, Florida area, and you'd like me to book me to speak at your church or event, I'm going to be in that area from certainly the last week of March, and into April. Very special events happening then, family events are happening at the beginning of April, and that's why we're going to be in the area. But it gives me the opportunity to speak in my old hunting ground in Pensacola, Florida. So if you want to book me to speak at your event in the Panhandle area of Florida, or maybe in southern Alabama, just over the border, which is also easy to get to, then please do contact me through the website mshcreationcenter.org. I'm going to be flying to Pensacola in Florida anyway, so please do get in touch. You know, you don't need to pay travel expenses. You can just get hold of me and get me to speak at your church or event. I'll be based in Pensacola, but if you're in the area, then it will not be, and it's not too far to travel, then I'll be very happy to do that. So as I said, I know that there's going to be one thing coming up on April the 12th. That's a Sunday after Easter Sunday. So keep your eyes open for that. That's at, God willing, that's at a large church in the Pensacola area. Keep your eyes open for that particular event. There'll be, God willing, there'll be some other ones coming up too. So please keep your eye on our website for events. That's mshcreationcenter.org, mshcreationcenter.org. And there are some events coming up in the month of February that I think that you will find useful and interesting. Just trying to get onto that particular calendar at the moment. Here it is. I've got the calendar up now. And I'll be, Creation Sunday is coming up on February the 15th. What's Creation Sunday about? Well, about 10 years ago, an atheist actually decided to start Evolution Sunday. He started writing to pastors around the country and asking them to support the theory of evolution, to tell their congregations that they could believe the Bible and the theory of evolution. Why Evolution Sunday? Well, it's the Sunday closest to Charles Darwin's birthday. Charles Darwin's birthday is February the 12th. So the closest to that this year is February the 15th. So he tried to get a lot of pastors to sign up to that, to say that they didn't need to believe the Bible is true. You can believe in evolution and believe in Christianity. And so a few years ago, another creation speaker and friend of mine called Tony Breeden, who's an author and creation speaker, and he put together the Creation Sundays event. And you can go to creationsundays.com and have a look at his suggestions for events. But he also allowed me to publish his article on the Mount St. Helens Creation Center website, which I did. And we're organizing an event here in the Northwest too. So if you want to come to the special Creation Sunday event on February the 15th, that will be at 6 p.m. in the evening, 6 p.m. Pacific time at the Mount St. Helens Creation Center. That's on State Highway 504 in Washington State. You just have to go along Interstate 5 till you get to Junction 49. You turn eastwards. If you're traveling north, that's turning right. If you're traveling south, that's turning left. And you travel along Spirit Lake Highway, State Highway 504. Look for the well-marked milepost signs. We are shortly after milepost 9. You'll see our center on the right-hand side. And come along for 6 o'clock. At about 6:30, I'll be doing my talk on Charles Darwin, a biography of Charles Darwin. Some years ago, I did a documentary film back in Britain for a Christian TV channel, satellite channel back in Britain. And so we'll have that available, that DVD available. And I'll be doing my talk on the night based on that particular documentary film. By the way, on the morning of Creation Sunday, we're urging churches to do something themselves. As a pastor, you want to preach on the subject of Genesis and creation yourself. Maybe you want to invite a speaker to speak on that subject, or maybe you just want to put a notice in the church bulletin just showing what your position is on the subject. Anything at all, but please do something for Creation Sunday. One local church in this area that are doing something is have invited me, and that's called the Heritage Bible Church, Calumet, Washington State. There are two churches in the area called Heritage Bible Church. This is the one in Calumet. Heritage Bible Church in Calumet, and I'll be speaking there at the Sunday school at 9 o'clock in the morning and at the worship service, I think it's 10 o'clock in the morning, or it's 10 o'clock or 10:30. I think if you remember 10 o'clock, you'll be there on time. I'll be speaking at those events on Creation Sunday. Just bringing that up. Yes, the service is 10 o'clock. The Sunday school is at 9 o'clock. So make sure you're there for that. It's the Heritage Bible Church of Puget Island, and I'll be speaking on Creation Sunday at that particular event. So please be involved in Creation Sunday. Please be involved in our website. Please listen into this show live next week, same time, same place. Until then, thank you for listening. God bless, and we will see you next week. Thank you so much for being a part of this show.